I'm Stacey Lindis from Podcast PD, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
So me being able to see the signs in you, and I could see the way you were talking different and the energy level, if you came in to our meetings or if you stayed at home, there were all these signs. And there's sometimes things that as a coach, we can't do for you, but we still have to be there. So when I think of the elevator or the escalator, I think of us as a coach, I've got to go down to your step. Instead of being antsy or saying, okay, you're going to make it through this. And I'm at this, like, come up like a baby when they're taking their first day, like, you could do it, you could do it. After so much of that, you're like, I don't know if I want to do it.
Welcome to the Burned In Teacher Podcast. I'm Amber Harper, and the educators on this podcast are brave enough to share their stories of burnout with the world. On BIT, we get real, we get honest, and we take action. Action against the burnout with stories from burned out teachers, advice from experts, and actionable steps you can take today to beat the burnout and become a happier, more fulfilled human being. Let's get started. Hello, Burned In Teachers, and welcome to the Burned In Teacher Podcast. This is episode 61, and listening to that intro from my coach, Leslie, it makes me sad because it's taking me back to October, November, December, when I was really struggling, and that's what today's episode is all about. So if you have not joined the Burned In Teacher Podcast before, this is one part burnout and all other parts action, inspiration, and support for teachers dealing with burnout. And if you've ever struggled, not just with burnout, but with opening a conversation with somebody that you can trust, who will ask you the hard questions and help you to do the hard things, this episode is for you. You know, we talk a lot of things in this episode, but we will continually come back to the importance of, when you're determining your long-term goals, having somebody to keep you accountable and to keep you going when times are tough. Sometimes to keep you going just by saying, I'm here when you're ready. Because honestly, when I would talk to Leslie back in November and December, I didn't know what I wanted anymore. I had lost sight of what Casey Morris called in episode 60 last week, my North Star. I lost my purpose. I wasn't fueled with passion because I didn't know what I was fighting for. I didn't know what I was working for every day. So as this episode is titled, Getting Off That Escalator, you'll hear us talking about my favorite YouTube video to show that you can go ahead and search for it now. It's called Get Off the Escalator. And it's all about when you get stuck, instead of waiting for somebody to come and save you, having conversations that help you to take the next step, having somebody in your corner that can say, I'm going to come down to your step for you, and I'm going to help you as much as I can, but I can't take the next step for you. Now, in addition to getting vulnerable about our own stories, we also talk about people in our lives who we have watched struggle, and we've done all that we can for them, but you can't change people. You have to wait for them to be ready to take the next steps and to take action when and how works best for them in the time that they are ready. And it's so hard. My friends, I know it's so hard to be where you are if you are finding it hard to get out of bed in the morning, or you're having anxiety about your future and what you do or do not want for yourself. I know what it feels like to feel alone. Trust me. I felt like I was completely alone back in October, November, December. And you're not alone. You have people in your life who care about you, who want to listen and offer you support. And if you can't find it anywhere else, then go to facebook.com/groups/burnedinteacher and open up the conversation there, because we can help you get off that escalator, okay? We're here for you. We want to help you. You know, and even if you do have people in your life who listen and want to support you, sometimes it's just great to get into a group of other people who know exactly how you feel and what you're going through. Okay, so I really strongly encourage you to jump in there, especially after listening to this episode. Now, it's a little bit of a longer one, so I'm not going to have tips and takeaways, but I invite you to check out the show notes at burnedinteacher.com. Click on podcast, and then you will see episode 61 with Leslie Hill, and you can click on links to all of the resources, and I have detailed notes there that will help you to navigate through what we talk about today. It's such an excellent conversation. So let's jump in now. Leslie, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing our relationship as coach and coachee with my Burned In teacher audience. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You and I have like contagious energy and we like...
I know. I always feel bad when people are around us and like... Whoa. Hello
but there. That's how you know you're around the right person, right? Whenever you can build off of each other's energy. So Leslie, will you help my listeners to understand who you are, what it is that you do?
Yes, I can. Gladly. So again, it's Leslie Hill, and I am the program director of a women's business center, which there are 114 in the country. That is it. We are funded by the SBA, which is the Small Business Association. They give us a certain amount of dollars and then our hosts match those dollars. We provide coaching services, whether it's one-on-one. That's where, you know, you may come in and say, I want to start a business or I want to grow a business. Sometimes I have my clients come in and they say, I've been in business for 14 years and there's just something I'm either going through burnout and I'm trying to decide whether or not I should keep going or how do I spice it up? And let's take this thing mobile. How do I do this appropriately? So we walk through all those kind of things one-on-one. You can also do things like an accelerator program, which, you know, you were involved with. And that's where we meet once a week and you have kind of that peer support around you, also peer mentoring. So you get to help others, they get to help you, and it's everyone's rising with the tide at the same time. So our business center is called the Women's Entrepreneurial Opportunity Center. We do help men, but we definitely have an eye for women because although we struggle with the same things, I think we're a little bit more open to talk about certain subjects than the other gender.
I think that's going to be something that we should definitely touch on today. Because with you as my coach, there were definitely things that I felt like I could connect with you on, you know, as woman to woman, which I think is really, really important, especially in my profession of education, being able to share the struggles that we women, and I mean, let's face it, teaching is a woman dominated profession where, you know, you can find somebody that can help you help to walk you through the tough times and can understand your struggles as a woman in general and your struggles as possibly a mom, a wife, or a partner, you know, where we have all of these extra responsibilities, but we also have these dreams and these goals and these things that we want to do. And to have somebody to that can relate to you on that level, even, you know, outside of a professional level is really, really important. Would you agree with that?
I completely agree. You know, we had a gentleman that was overseeing the program right before I started. And he said, you know, people just don't want to talk to me about things. And they come in with you and they'll tell you their whole life story. I'm like, that's because they know I get it. You know?
And education aside, it's really important to have this relationship. And I know, you know, listeners, you might be listening right now and you're like, what does this have to do with me? Right? I mean, I'm a teacher, right? I'm not starting a business. That's totally fine. That's not why I asked Leslie to come on here today. I really wanted her to share our coach and coachee relationship. And especially with this month's theme being determine your long-term goals, how important it is to have somebody in your corner to keep you accountable, not only with your, you know, those short-term goals, but in the long run, you know, Leslie
and I am the prize.
Right. Yes. And oh my goodness, whenever you hit a wall of burnout, right? To help you through that as well.
And, you know, just before we jumped on this call together, I was having a coaching moment because I teach my clients. So the certification program, I had to jump on and say, I don't think this is working. And I, you know, I think it's me.
So walk me through some of your tools that you're using, because I don't think I'm going to do it. So we literally all go through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It burnout touches everybody. You know, the World Health Organization just deemed it as an occupational phenomenon, not just a teaching phenomenon. So we have to have people that we can come to seek support from when times are tough, not just to share the wins with, because that's really fun too. But yeah. when the stuff hits the fan, to be able to say, life sucks. It's hard. I want to quit, you know, and to have somebody there to help you. Now, I will say too, Leslie, what I also love about our relationship is although you are not in education yourself, I still, however, consider you a teacher because coaches have to have strong teaching qualities. But your husband is in education. He's a principal here in Fort Wayne. So can you tell us a little bit about what you have seen from him? I mean, whatever you're comfortable sharing,
yeah.
You know, in relation to teacher burnout, which you know very well is who it is that I love and who I work with.
Yes. And I know when you came in, the very first kind of the standpoint or the viewpoint that I come to you from is that kind of disheartened, disgruntled, though not going to change person in the school system. Mm-hmm. So he taught for 18 years at a high school. It was these upper level classes, and he loved being in front of people. He loved being able to talk about history, which is his first love, and English, and he hated the amount of time he had to grade, but he also didn't know the difference. Mm-hmm. So he would leave the family all the time. He'd say, I'm going to go grade. I never understood why he needed to leave to grade because I work from home all the time. So that was, I love that I have that perspective from mm-hmm. you, but then I also love that, you know, you are trying to help people get out of this mindset of kind of just, focusing on the negative. And he, God love him. He is that person that is able to do that. He isn't looking for ways to feel better about it. It's, I'm going to get through this until, I can retire and I'm going to have my pension and this is all I know how to do. What would I do even if I left? Mm-hmm. So the fact that you could help him burn in is something that I then can help him at home to remember, like, you know, this can be better.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Like he should take the teacher burnout quiz.
I know. Well, I know exactly where it would land. And when I talk to you, yeah. I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, that's good. Oh, that's good.
So yeah, what I'm learning is I need to create a burnout quiz for administrators eventually,
yeah.
even very soon. But yeah, but being able to connect with you on that level for you to say, yes, my husband definitely does struggle with teachers that are clearly in burnout. He has gone through burnout himself. And to be able to speak to that and to have those conversations has been absolutely fundamental in you understanding where I'm coming from as a woman and, of course, as an educator. So I brought you on here, Leslie, again, to talk about determining your long-term goals and why accountability and coaching through those goals and through those hardships and through those daily actions. I mean, I just laid out in the first episode of this month all of the steps to determine what it is that you even want, right? To have that vision. But can you share with us, first of all, a couple of things that you would suggest as a coach with helping to determine your long-term goals, just from your perspective, and maybe even you could shed some light on where you saw me when I first came to you, because I was paralyzed. I was so at a level one when I came to you. I loved what I did, but I was so paralyzed and isolated and just really needed you. So can you kind of just tell us, you know, through working with me, what it is that you, what would you suggest, you know, as far as, okay, you know what you want, or how do you find what you want? And then how would you use a coach to kind of help mm-hmm. to be a catalyst
yeah, walk
for you?
Through that process. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
First of all, just being able to talk it out with someone is mm-hmm. so important, because especially as females, we need to talk. And it's probably the one thing that we feel like we can't talk about. How am I allowed to have these bigger aspirations? And it doesn't mean, that you need to go into administration. It doesn't mean that when I say bigger, it doesn't mean what's the next step in your career. I mean, say you want to be, you know, teacher of the year that year. That's a big aspiration, but you're not even going to be able to figure out that that is your goal unless you actually talk through these finer points. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh. Yeah, I guess that is what I want. And I didn't realize that, or it was really hard for me to admit to myself. And now by you saying it doesn't sound so bad. So now we can. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that I would do, number one, is whether it's a coach or it's someone that you trust, you're going to have to find someone that you can be completely vulnerable with. Most often that is going to be somebody that's outside of your career, because we fear judgment so much. Mm-hmm. So being able to voice and talk through things, I mean, just explaining your career to someone else is eye-opening. So I would suggest finding someone that you can be vulnerable with that's outside of your career. Then it'll be someone that not only you can be vulnerable with, but that you can really start to open up and say, I expect you to hold me accountable. Mm-hmm. That's another hard thing to ask for, especially as women. We are supposed to be there for everyone else, not the other way around. So asking for help, it's one thing to go Google things, because oh yeah, we got that down.
Yeah.
We'll Pinterest it, we got all that. But actually taking that moment to say, I need you to help me do this. Mm-hmm. And it's not gonna be our spouse. Mm-hmm. More than likely, because they already are thinking about their home situation. You know, we have our different roles, and I don't care if it's your best friend, it's got to be someone just far enough out of your reach that really will hold you accountable and ask those questions, because they don't know you well enough.
Well, they'll ask you the tough questions because they're not in it with you. And I was just going to say, working with you, Leslie, who again, like you don't work in education, but you understand it a little bit, but you're not mm-hmm. in it. And when I sought therapy, I've openly talked about the fact that I sought therapy, especially Yay. Whenever I finally admitted that I was really struggling with severe burnout. Not even just in my business, but just in life in general.
Yes.
When you find somebody who doesn't know you or hasn't known you for years or doesn't love you in the way that your spouse or your friends love you, mm-hmm. they look at things from a totally different perspective. And it's a perspective of newness. And it's, I don't even know how to word it. It's more of like, it's like a clean mm-hmm. start with somebody where you're building a relationship with somebody based on goals, based on mm-hmm. the fact that you are seeking, like this is a help and help, you know, a helper mm-hmm. and helpee situation. And who knows, you may even become friends through this, right, Leslie?
Right.
But
that's right. It just ends up happening organically. Just, yes.
Right, right. But it's just, I had somebody actually who was involved in the Burn-In Teacher Small Group Program last year. She said, you know, Amber, she goes, it's so nice that you used to be a teacher and that you can speak the language and you know how hard it is, but it's also so nice to have you because you're not in it. And mm-hmm. now you can tell me things and show me things from a different perspective. And especially if we're talking about education, it's really hard to seek support from somebody who is teaching, whether or not they're teaching the same grade level, but they are actively teaching because they have got their own hardships and their own struggles within that profession that they are struggling with. And it's really hard to think outside of that.
Yeah, to get outside of your person. Mm-hmm. You know, for years I've been a personal stylist as well. And every time I have someone say, oh, I've always wanted to do that. I love shopping. I'm like, you love shopping for you. Mm-hmm. So for you to look at someone else's body and to be able to take their style and help them create an outfit out of their style, not yours, that is something that the majority of people and stylists can't do. Mm-hmm. And so even yeah. my 15 years of designing clothing, I would have never worn the clothes that I designed for. And I think that also helps, like we said, getting outside of our own kind of comfort level, the people who know us the most. when I worked for Spiegel Catalog, I didn't wear like the cutout butterfly shirts, but you better believe I had to find out a whole bunch about them so I could love them enough to give them that information. Mm-hmm. So with working as a coach for you, luckily I already had an idea, but I also had to go out and find out more about them. Like when we found out that there are more people that are talking about their misery in teaching, then there are people looking to get help. I mean, that's a huge eye opener. That means I can then help you navigate. Okay, remember who your client is. Mm-hmm. So we just have to figure out how to talk to them because that might not resonate, even though it totally resonates with you at this moment in time. We've got to switch the wording so that we can actually get into their brain. It's that whole psychological concept.
Absolutely. And there are questions that you've asked me that stump me because I've never even considered looking at certain things from that perspective. I only look at things through a teacher's eyes rather than looking at them just from a wider eyes open perspective, like just on like a human level or a life level.
Mm-hmm. And that's just me being ignorant in your industry. And that's exactly why you want to have an accountability person who's not in there.
Yes, because you have to explain yourself. And then mm-hmm. there's kind of like that self-checking, that self-awareness, like, oh my gosh, why was I doing it that way? Or why have I decided that I was going to make that biased decision about this person or these people or these students? Or, you know, I'm like mm-hmm. going back and forth between me and a teacher's perspective. But when people ask you hard questions that the other people who love you, they don't want, like, and I know, Leslie, that you love me, but when people love you in a, you know, in that very history based, you have, you know, mm-hmm. that loyalty base, when they ask you, like, they won't ask you those questions. They don't want to hurt your feelings. They don't want to make you feel bad. And it's feelings aside, like these are the hard conversations, you know, the accountability and the vulnerability, right?
And they also may do it from being kind of jerky. Mm-hmm. Like they love you so much that they don't want to see you stay in that place. So if I think of with my husband who has been burned and bored for the last 20 years, it's really hard for me as a wife who, I mean, I'm like, I'm not going to stay unhappy. That's my personality. I'm going to be happy. Yeah. Of course, what benefits our family, but for him, I'm like, what is wrong with you? Why don't you want it more than you are doing right now?
Yeah.
And that's where, as the family member, my love comes in and it's like, I just want to smack you around.
Yeah.
Because the accountability partner or the coach is not going to do that.
No. They're going to keep you accountable for what it is that you freaking want, right?
Yes.
Here are two things that I love. I love that you can speak the language of burned in teacher. I love that you can identify him as burned in board first.
Yes. He's totally burned in board.
Mm-hmm. Second of all, that's totally been the case. And honestly, when I was teaching and I went through burnout in, oh my gosh, 2008, for example, you know, I can't explain how I'm feeling to my husband the way that I would have explained it if I would have, number one, probably sought therapy because I'm very sure that I had postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. The way that I would have opened up to somebody else who, you know, because even if you're struggling, you don't want to hurt people's feelings, or maybe sometimes you don't want to be completely honest about how you feel because you are afraid of that judgment, or you are afraid that, oh my gosh, like if I tell this person this or what I really want, they're going to judge me. Or, you know, it comes back to that whole crab mentality that you just said. People that love you the most are going to try to keep you safe. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that safe place is not the best place for us.
No. But it's what we know. So we're like, well, why wouldn't you do this?
Yes. Exactly. And I can tell you there are definite times where if I wouldn't have had you, if I wouldn't have had the other wonderful women in the accelerator program, mm-hmm. I probably would have gone back to the safety of teaching, which wouldn't be horrible, but it certainly would not be where I know that I am meant to impact education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just like on the flip side, where Brian, I keep pushing him to as his wife and like big picture thinker. I'm like, okay, you love history, right? You loved teaching it. Now as an administrator, you don't get to do any of those things. So what if you started a podcast and all you did was talk about history? But that's not where he is. Mm-hmm. That's not his comfort zone. So I have to remember that I have to talk his language and let him, I have to be okay with him staying where he is. And that might be like where the listeners are. Like, I don't want to do one more thing. I already have so many things to do. Don't push me. Like, I just want to be happy with where I am. Please know that that is why me as my husband's accountant, it doesn't work because it's not my language. It's not my strengths. If you've ever taken strengths finders.
Oh, girl.
So
anyone listening to this episode knows all about the strengths finder system. And if you don't, you need to DM me or email me and I'll help you get started because we talked all about nurturing your strengths back in, let's see, now we're in March, February, January, talked about nurturing your strengths. Yeah. So,
yes.
So that's the thing about you and me, we're both activators.
Yes.
Right. I mean, that's one of our top strengths. Like we're like, we want to help you be successful, but you have to know what you want in the first place. And actually, I talked about this, I think I may have talked about it just a couple episodes ago about getting off that escalator. You know, it's, you get stuck on that escalator of, you know, and if you've not watched that video, I think I've told you this before, listeners, go to YouTube and search stuck on an escalator.
It's so good.
So good. Because these people get, they stay on this escalator that just stops. And it's as simple as, you know, as you're watching or even listening, you're like, duh, you just walk, right? But when you're in it, when you're so in it, you don't see how one step can change everything. And especially my friends, when we're talking about burnout, when you're stuck on an escalator of burnout and you think it's just easier just to stay here because the alternative is, I don't even know what, I'm so low. I'm so at a level zero on the Burned In Teacher success roadmap. I don't even know where I would start. I don't have the energy, the motivation to even look for something to ignite my passion again, or, you know, and like Leslie said, and we've talked about this, you know, that the mission of Burned In Teacher is not to get you out of education. It's not to keep you in. If you just want to love fourth grade again.
Yeah.
You know, gosh, I have all kinds of ideas on podcasts and how he could connect history to his role with students and
he's not an activator. So he's
You can't see it. So Leslie, let's go back to late October. And I feel like we had a women's business retreat. And I think that I was like, right, I was riding the high all during that weekend. And I think it was like the calm before the storm. It was like super manic, excited. These are my goals. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm not kidding you. I got home that day. I woke up the next morning and I didn't even want to get out of bed. It was unbelievable. I had just like, I have all these dreams. I still have all these dreams. I had all these goals and aspirations through that weekend. It was phenomenal. I cannot wait for next year. But I was on that escalator. I was like, I don't even know what to do next, where to go. I can't even talk about it with anybody. I'm a teacher burnout coach, for goodness sake. I am alone. And Leslie, you were there. So can you talk a little bit to what you saw and you know, now having this conversation, and we've talked through this entire all of these months, you know, what was that like for you as a coach?
Mm-hmm.
To see this happen?
I think the hardest thing, and knowing that I've also built something, I can see it from a standpoint. So say it would be like you being the teacher, knowing what teachers are going through. I mean, that's something that can't be replaced. Mm-hmm. So me being able to see the signs in you, and I could see the way you were talking different and the energy level, if you came in to our meetings or if you stayed at home, like there were all these signs. And there's sometimes things that as a coach, we can't do for you, but we still have to be there. So when I think of the elevator or the escalator, I think of us as a coach, I've got to go down to your step instead of being antsy or saying, okay, you're going to make it through this. And I'm at the, like, come up like a baby when they're taking their first day, like, you could do it. You could do it. After so much of that. And you're like, I don't know if I want to do it. Just thinking that's where you were. Like, I don't know if it's hard. It's hard as hell. And I don't know if I want to take this step and the next 15 steps, because I don't know if this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Or I don't know if I'm going to fall down 20 steps after I take 15. I don't know if I'm going to fall down 20.
Yes. And so all a coach can do at that point in time is come down, sit on that step with you. And if it takes tears, then we're just going to sit there and you're like, God, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing else that it's just sucky right now.
Well, what you're talking about right now is empathy and being a guide, because something that maybe, and have you seen the video that I'm talking about?
Yeah. With Escalator?
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
So you know
only
how
after
ends.
You showed me.
Yes. Right. It's the best video ever. So something I want to highlight from this is that at near the end of the video, a mechanic shows up and he says, hey, don't worry about it. I'll fix it in a second. I have this video memorized, you guys. And you, as somebody who, you know, like how movies play out, you're like, he's going to get stuck. And he totally does. Like, he's coming up an escalator that is going to, you know, come around to the next level, and he gets stuck. And it's because there's no hero out there to come save you. And a coach is not a hero. And what I feel like, what I've always felt that mechanic has represented is us expecting people to come and save us and to fix it for us. They can't. Mm-hmm. That there's nobody else that can fix our situation but us. And what's funny is that, you know, even as I, you know, admitted that I was going through burnout and I started going through my steps, I knew that no one was going to come save me, right? Mm-hmm. But there was part of me that I'm like, I just want someone to come and save me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that desire, that intense desire doesn't go away.
Right, right. And so what, you know, if we could remake this video, I mean, in real life, the mechanic shouldn't have been coming up the escalator to try to help them, because they're going to get stuck at a certain point too. They should have been at the top. Yeah. Well, they should have been at the top of the escalator, walked down the steps, and helped these people to understand that they're there to help them. What do you need to get off of this escalator? Because I'm here to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And to guide them to take the next step and the next step and the next step.
And sometimes it is when they're sitting on that step with you, after you sit there in it, because I hate that we might think that coaching or an accountability coach or all these kind of things is going to constantly motivate you. It might just be you sit there and you sit in it and it's disgusting and it hurts and it's awful. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, this is boring.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when there's actually somebody right next to you, it's not as much fun to sit in misery, because you're like, well, now what do we talk about? We've been sitting here and I'm hungry and my butt hurts because this escalator is not comfortable. And so after you get, then the coach can start to see, all right, I can see this shift. Her eyes are opening a little bit. This might be the time. We're going to push a little, see if it's time to at least stand back up. And then you can feel that out.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is where determining your long-term goals is so important. Mm-hmm. And keeping your eyes, like you said earlier, keeping your eyes on the prize. And I truly believe in using your long-term goals with guided flexibility. You know where you want to go. You may have to be a little flexible in how you get there. And you might even change a little bit what that long-term goal is. But that's where purpose and passion come from, is knowing where you want to go and then working backwards from there on how you're going to get there. And I'm sorry, my friend, you cannot do it alone.
No.
Nobody can.
No.
So whenever we're talking about keeping your eyes on your long-term goals and moving backwards from there, you know, I we used to, as a group, when I was going through the program, we would meet every week. And if you couldn't meet in person, you could join on a Zoom call. I cannot tell you how extremely important that was for me as I was doing all of these scary things that I had never done. And then, you know, we transitioned it into one-to-one, and I still schedule one-to-one Zoom calls with you just to let you know how I'm doing, especially since I'm now coming out of this, this battle with burnout. And just to check in with you, just to say, hey, I am here. Here's a question I have. Here's something that I'm doing that's a little scary, and here's what's going really well. And to have somebody then that has been there with you through that hardship, who doesn't see you, I don't see you every day. I don't talk to you every day. To be able to celebrate those wins, or to even say, yeah, I know this is going to be the really hard part. You know, I just called you today just to check in about today's interview. And you're like, yeah, doesn't it kind of suck that this is what it's going to take? You know, a coach is not somebody who's going to do nothing but wave pom-poms around and jump up and down. They're going to be like, yeah, this is going to suck. Mm-hmm. This is going to be really hard. And those are the conversations that we lack a lot in our day-to-day interactions, because everybody's either got blinders on, doing their own thing, getting through their own, you know, battle. Everybody's fighting their own battles. Or they feel like they have to smile and say, you can do it.
Yeah. You know, so true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've got to find the person that is able to serve that role. Mm-hmm. And I love thinking about that, because when you're with your family, you know, even with those strength finders or whatever, it's like, you think, oh, I'm a different person with each group. And then strength finder says, no, you're really not. These are your, but like with my immediate family, it's a little different than when it is with my extended family, mm-hmm. who I am with that, what role I play. So we may be able to use our strengths in different ways, but you've got to find the person that's going to be steadfast in that role. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I really think it does. Because with a coach or with a therapist, you know, if you choose to seek therapy or find a coach or find somebody who can mentor you, their role is nothing but that.
Yes.
They don't.
When I think of my family, okay, I'm going to be silly with my kids, and I'm going to be, you know, sometimes serious, sometimes silly with my husband. With my extended family, I'm not the funny one. Mm-hmm. My dad's the funny one. Mm-hmm. Or my sister's the funny one. So even though I'm still funny and silly,
you are.
That's not my role in that setting. Mm-hmm. So if I have a coaching client, I need to kind of test that out at first to see, do they need me to pull out my strong strength, or do they need me to pull out my empathy strength? And I realize you're going to go back and forth between all of these, but each coaching client relationship, teacher relationship is going to be different based off of you, mm-hmm. the teacher. You have to find somebody that need, like, okay, I need somebody to just say, you can do this. Mm-hmm. Come on. Or you need someone to say, you need a hug, and you need to say, this is such crap that this industry is like this. And I completely agree with you. Now, what are we going to do?
Yes.
And when to do that.
And here's the other thing about, you know, some people are really lucky and they have a very positive, supported, action-based relationship with a teacher down the hall. But a lot of times that is not the case. You go to them when you're pissed off. You go to them whenever you are sad and so overwhelmed and frustrated that you just want somebody to just cry to. And that's where it starts and ends.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of like that, you know, that social media platform that we were talking about, you know, it starts and ends with negativity. And inventing is healthy. You have to talk about things that are frustrating you and making you angry. That's, mm-hmm. that's completely necessary and normal. But I've said it before and I'll say it again a million times. If you are venting, and you go to somebody and your blood pressure is higher when you walk away from that conversation, or it's the same and no resolutions have come from the conversation, you're having the wrong conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's not, I've had some people hate on me for saying that, but it's absolutely true. You will never, Leslie, please be honest. Have I ever come to you? And I know that I've come to you crying. That's not the question. Have I ever come to you crying or frustrated and not asked you, what do I do? What are my next steps?
Mm-hmm. I have, you in particular are one of my clients that does all the things. And then you ask, okay, tell me how I did it. And if it's not good enough, I'm going to do it again. So many clients will come in and say, okay, I have this goal of, say it's making this much money. Mm-hmm. What do I do to get there? And you tell them and they're like, okay. And then they come back and they're like, okay, so what did you do toward that goal? And they're like, and every single time there's a reason why they couldn't do it. And I'm not saying that life doesn't get in the way, because it definitely does.
Totally does.
But if you are serious about changing your mindset or changing your life, then you're going to make time for it.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it's hard.
Yes.
And that can be, yeah. And that can be the hardest hurdle. That can be the hardest step to take off of the escalator. As it's like, oh, I hate where I am, but I don't even know what to do. But this person that I'm talking to or working with is telling me to do this thing. Oh, okay. I'm going to take this small little baby step this way. And then you see a little bit of progress. You see a little bit of change, you know, and then you say, oh, that was hard and scary.
And I totally did it. My God.
I totally did it. And I'm going to take another one. And then I'm going to check in and I'm going to say, this sucked. This was hard. This didn't work, but I tried this. You know, and now we've mm-hmm. created a conversation based on activation, you know, based on positive change. And it, mm-hmm. it just gets better from there. And that's not to say that things don't get hard and you don't hit a wall or you don't hit resistance or, you know, this is just, that's the life that you're talking about, or your kid gets sick or you get sick,
yeah, you know, everything goes to poop.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, it's just, it's part of life, you know? So Leslie, you said definitely find somebody you can be 100% vulnerable and find to be accountable with, mm-hmm. And definitely talk it out even when you feel like you can't, to be 100% honest and just stating what it is that you want and even what you don't want. I mean, through the practice of determining your long-term goal, step six, it's be unabashed about what it is that you want.
Yes.
We have this one life. Like you have to find somebody that you can say, you're the only one that I feel like I can say this to, but this is what I truly want. And they can say, okay, now how are we going to get there?
Yes. And that's exactly what the goal setting is. Okay. Even if I love to start with just one goal, because when you're starting, you're like, I have 5 goals for this year. And then
which
you're like,
me? Oh, you're like, hold on.
Yeah. Like, wait, let's take a step back. Cause you got a lot of goals under, like, the steps that are going to go into that goal uh-huh. are going to take a lot of time.
Yes.
So if you can focus on one, but no more than 3, mm-hmm. can't do more than 3 basically. There's a to-do list, and that's totally different than a goal list, because they're going to be just far enough out of your reach that, like you said, you're going to have to do those things that make you uncomfortable and you're like gritting your teeth and you're all nervous, and then you're going to move past that. Mm-hmm. But so you decide, maybe it, like if I think of Brian and he's an administrator, and if he's like, I am going to, my biggest goal this year is to feel like I'm using my brain more. Let's just say that. Then I'm going to say, okay, as his coach, what does that mean? What does it look like? Let's walk through that. What does it mean using, are you just going to read more books? Mm-hmm. Are you going to go to speaking engagements? You know, like was it Omnibus over at Purdue? What does that look like? Are you going to try to go to things where school's going to send you to keep learning? What is it? Well, okay. So let's think, I want to do two things that my school can send me to, and I do want to read more books, but I want to read it in this genre. Mm-hmm. And because they'll always say like leadership, but maybe you don't want to learn about leadership. Maybe it's something else. Mm-hmm. And then, so we break that down. So then, okay, from there, now, if we are focusing on your school sending you to something, what is it that's going to fill you up? Is it the Lilly grants? And then do you need help with the writing a Lilly grant? Yes. And what will fill you up and do something good for the school and the students? So
yes,
can get you help to write that. And don't feel bad. You're an English teacher. Don't feel bad that you need help. This is a whole different type of writing.
So you get to learn a new writing type, a writing style. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because like as a coach, I'm listening to you and I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. So we need to say, okay, you're going to read this many books, but what books are you going to read? How many do you want to read? You want to read one a month? Because if so, we need to have at least your first three.
Yes. Uh-huh. See? No. And,
yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just working backwards, but you first of all have to start with what you want.
And him being honest with themselves, just like all of you, do you really want to feel burned in? If you don't, you have to be honest with yourself and say right now, nope, I don't want to be burned in. I'm not going to put in the work. I'm not going to do it.
Yep. I'm not going to change the way I think. I'm not going to change the way I believe. I'm not going to change the way I act. Yeah. And that's hard. That's hard to say that out loud, you know, but it is a decision.
Yes.
Because it takes work to go from burned out to burned in. It does. It takes a lot.
Yeah. And if you think of that whole water cooler talk where you're going and you're, you know, talking to the teacher down the hall and it fuels you to have somebody kind of combat the day with, mm-hmm. You just knowing that your actions are speaking louder than words is one thing, but actually saying them is like a splash of cold water in your face. Like, oh.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is you use the example of, you know, you want to be teacher of the year. You want to be recognized as teacher of the year. Here's a hard conversation that you may need to have. Going to your principal and saying, I want to be teacher of the year. As my administrator, what improvements do I need to make so that that happens? That's a scary conversation. Mm-hmm. And you might not like the answers. And that's something that can be hard to do as well, is when you don't get that gold star.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm. And thinking of that person too, it might be really hard for them. Maybe they're a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. Maybe that this is going to be really hard. So you're helping them learn at the same time.
Yeah.
Think of it that way. Mm-hmm. You're helping push their limits. They got into this role for a reason. Help them utilize it.
Yeah. But then I do have to say, as a teacher burnout coach, you have to think about why you want to be teacher of the year in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, how does that fuel your purpose? Or are you in fact just wanting that gold star? Are you going to end up killing yourself? And not literally, but like, are you going to end up like just ruining your days, nights, and weekends trying to achieve this, what do they call it? A vanity metric, you know? So are you going to volunteer for all of these clubs, to lead these clubs and to do these after school activities and to be the newspaper, like the sponsor for your yearbook and all these things that you don't have time for because you want that label.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. You know, here's what would happen if you had a coach or a mentor and you said, I want to be teacher of the year. If you were to work with me, I would say, can you help me to understand why this is important to you? Mm-hmm. Because if you could give me some really good reasons that I could help walk you through, if that's truly what you want, but I'm going to also, you know, depending on what type of burnout you're dealing with, you know, we have some other stuff we need to make sure that we are taking care of before, you know, sometimes you got to back up further than what you think. And that's another thing about having a coach and a mentor, is that sometimes what you think you want is not really truly what you need.
Mm-hmm. And I think even with being a business coach, and people say, okay, I want to recoup my salary from my full-time job. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what is it going to take to get there? Just like in teaching, can you be the sponsor for the CAN club, whatever that thing is called, I forget, or the RACtivists and all these student council things? And, mm-hmm. Well, maybe you're not going to get there because now you're stretching yourself so thin. So as a business coach, I would be asking them, can you outsource some of this? Mm-hmm. What can you outsource to get to your goal? And so as a teacher trying to do this, you can't bring everything in house. It's not possible.
Nope. And it's funny. I'm laughing because you have asked me that so many times. Because my friends, I sometimes deal with the superhero Sam where I say, I can do everything myself. It's cheaper. I can do it the way I want. And I can just do it all myself. And oh my goodness, let me tell you something. First of all, if I wasn't a teacher first, I would have never been able to do this whole business ownership thing, because you have, my friend, you have more skills than you ever thought that you had possible.
Yes. It's so impressive how organized you are and how you have your time management down to like a T, how you know exactly how much money you're spending because you've just had to pay for crap in your schoolroom, your classroom for however long. And so even though it's a donation, you still start thinking about how much you've spent on Kleenex.
Absolutely.
All these things that you end up doing that are business skills as well, that people would give they would amputate and have these skills that you have. It is ridiculous.
We're pretty lucky. We know a lot. We can handle a lot. We are a tough breed, us teachers, aren't we? Well, speaking of time management, Leslie, our time together is actually over. But if anybody here in the Fort Wayne area or Northeast Indiana area is listening, why don't you let them know how they can get a hold of you for business coaching and mentorship and possibly get, you know, part of the, and get to take part in the accelerator programs and let people know how to find you.
Yeah. And this can go back to, even if it's what is dubbed as a side hustle, if you want help with any of that, if you are like, oh, you know what, I could sell my curriculum, mm-hmm. whatever, look at it, see if it's viable. Just come in and ask, let's talk it through. Again, we're going to be talking a lot.
Here you go. You know, you burned in board teachers. This is for you, because this was me in 2016, 2017. I knew that I had this thing that I wanted to do, but I didn't know at all what to do to get there. And I needed help.
Yes. So the website that you can go and learn a little bit more about this, and you'll see my silly face on there, is inweoc.com. So it's like Indiana Women's Entrepreneurial Opportunity Center. So you just shrunk it down. inweoc.com. You can come in and we can just talk high level. Mm-hmm. I think I kind of want to do this. Maybe I don't. Or maybe you're an influencer and you've been doing this for 5 years, and you're like, I don't know, should I replace my income with this? I love doing this. And sometimes, I mean, Amber's a great person to talk to about that too, because, you know, with the highs and lows, thinking of, yeah, sometimes you will be able to replace it, and sometimes you won't, and sometimes you'll want to punch your own face in for quitting your job, and then sometimes you're going to be like, oh, the best, this is the best decision ever.
The iceberg analogy or the image.
Oh, yeah.
So true. Like how you see all the things, like the small tip of success of the iceberg and then the under the water. Oh, my God.
I feel like that's my brain sometimes. Like, uh-huh. Here's just a little bit of my brain that looks like it's knows what it's doing. And here's the rest of it. It's like, So, and even if you have a phone call, we can still help people all over the country. And it is free. And I don't think you're supposed to say like, I think it's supposed to be like free of charge or we're complimentary, whatever. It's your tax dollars. Thank you so much for giving me a job. Utilize the service. And I am here to help anytime.
Oh, well, I'm so grateful that you came on here. You know, I don't typically have non-educators here, but I mean, you have educated me so much and helped me so much to thrive where I otherwise was just surviving. And that's the definition of what I want to be to my teachers. So thank you so much for spending time with us today. Is there anything else you'd like to share today?
If it's the accelerator, and if you're listening to this in March of 2020, we are taking applications now. So this is a similar program. Well, it is the program, what Amber went through. And again, it's free of charge, mm-hmm. complimentary. It's where you get together once a week and we talk about building the business. And there is that peer mentoring support. So we are taking applications now. It's on that website. If you're listening to this at another time, maybe it's years down the road and you find this podcast, just know that you can go to the website, ianweak.com, and look to see. We do 2 cohorts a year. So it might be time for you. But yeah. That is all I have to say. And I want to thank you all. I feel like I could thank you all like we thank our servicemen and women for, because you are raising my children. You're raising my neighbor's children. You're doing things. And when people ask you, why can't we have this as curriculum in school? Just know that there are some of us out there that know that you are doing way more than what you're being paid for. And we truly, truly appreciate you because I know I could not do it. Thank you.
I will tell you from everybody who's listening that you are more than welcome and it is our pleasure. And if it's not your pleasure, then you need to contact me.
Good point. Yes.
And if you're listening to this episode and this podcast, you probably are finding some things that are not pleasurable about what you do, which there's, let me tell you, Leslie can tell you too, there's stuff in every job that is not full of pleasure, right? Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, you can reach out to Leslie. You can reach out to me. Leslie, thanks again for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a fantastic day. And I hope everybody listens to every other podcast because I do, and I'm not even a teacher.
Thank you, Leslie.
And I love it.
Very flattering. All right. Talk soon, Leslie. Thank you.
Bye.
If you enjoyed today's podcast episode, you can head over to burnedinteacher.com where you can access the entire vault of Burned In Teacher podcast episodes and more information about ways I want to help you go from burned out teacher to burned in human. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would be so grateful if you would head over to iTunes and leave a review and a rating about the Burned In Teacher podcast. Until next time, take a deep breath because you just took another step to becoming a Burned In Teacher. Burn on.